It's interesting. We had a working group of general oncologists in here in our studio for a video where we asked them for questions they had about different diseases. And one was FL. And one of the docs said, well, you know, I went to a BESTA ASCO course and they said the relevance trial was negative.
All right.
And they're not using R squared. But, you know, when I looked at the paper, it looks like it's the same as the R chemotherapy. So, you know, it kind of gets into the way it was set up. But the bottom line is, it's kind of hard to look at that trial and see a difference between R squared and R chemo. Is that kind of everybody's take on that?
So I love Bruce's comment on this. And he said that it's the most positive negative trial that we've seen at ASCO. And it's a great way to talk about it because the trial, unfortunately, was designed as a superiority trial. And it was not designed to look at these two regimens for non-inferiority. But, I mean, you don't have to be an oncologist or an academic to look at the two graphs. I mean, they are literally overlapping. The progression-free survival was pretty much identical between R squared and R chemo. At 3 years, it was 77 versus 78%. And the toxicity profile is less. So I think about this as, you know, we see less neutropenia, less infections, less nausea, vomiting, no hair loss with R squared compared to R chemo, and you get the exactly the same outcome. So what I think about is, in for most patients, you've got a regimen that is probably a little more tolerable and will lead to very similar outcomes. So I think that at least this is another option for patients to discuss when you're thinking about frontline therapy.
The thing that really surprised me is, I mean, first of all, I would imagine you were not surprised. I mean, maybe you might have been hoping it might have been better, but I don't think you were thinking it'd be worse, right?
Correct. You know, one of the issues with these trials, and I think this we see with a lot of trials, is we're trying to get these drugs to market and get them in the hands of patients quickly. So this trial was designed before we really had durable progression-free survival data from these first phase two trials. And if you look at the progression-free survival, now that we have longer follow-up for both these phase two trials, it looks very similar to what we see in relevance. It's almost the same, around 70% at 3 years. And so in retrospect, the outcomes are pretty much what we saw from the original trials, but we didn't have that data. All we really had was response data when we were designing these trials. We did a little look at our own patients at MD Anderson about 2 years ago, published this in Annals of Oncology, looking at our outcomes of patients with BR, R-CHOP, and R-squared. And guess what we saw? Almost identical PFS. So again, when we look at our own patients, this is kind of what we see in practice, is that all three of these regimens look pretty comparable.
And remind me, is lenalidomide approved in follicular lymphoma?
It is not.
Not even in relapse disease?
Not even in relapse. There is a study ongoing that John Leonard and some folks are leading where it's called the AUGMENT trial. And this is R squared versus rituximab in relapsed follicular. This could potentially lead to FDA registration for lenalidomide in the relapse setting.
So what are the practicalities right now of obtaining R squared if you want to use it up front?
So the good news is that based upon the phase two data and some relapse data, that it is on the NCCN guidelines for both untreated as well as relapsed patients. So it's hard for me to talk about what, for example, insurance companies will cover, but many insurance companies use the NCCN guidelines as a kind of guideline about what they'll approve. So in my own practice, I've been able to use lenalidomide in the frontline and in the relapse setting in follicular without too much difficulty.
And is R squared or lenalidomide in front of the FDA up front? Is it being submitted?
With the current trial, no, because again, this was, we had discussed without getting a lot of information, but you know, this trial was potentially going to go to registration, but did not meet the primary endpoint. Sorry, I should mention there were two primary endpoints in the trial. One was called CR30. This is patients that had a complete remission at 30 months on therapy. And we had talked to the FDA, and this is a surrogate for progression-free survival. That endpoint was not met. We have not yet reached PFS in both arms. So we don't yet know if PFS will be better with R squared. If that does get a positive PFS, we could go to the FDA with the trial. But that's going to take a couple more years of follow-up to hit median PFS in both arms.